Well, a friend of mine by the name of Donna White works for an executive search firm out in California. She works for a company called the Dingman Company, and their work is to find leadership for large nonprofits, especially faith-based organizations. And the term many people use to describe Donna's work is she's a headhunter. She looks to find the right kind of leaders for her clients. Well, just before Thanksgiving, she called me up on my cell phone just to see how I was doing. And I told her we're getting ready for Advent. And I told her about the series that we're going to do and kind of went through what we're focusing on each week. And I mentioned that on the fourth Sunday of Advent that we would be focusing on Mary. And Donna was in ministry before she became a headhunter, and she was interested on how I was going to approach this as a Protestant minister. How would I approach Mary's role in the Christmas story? And then I said, just out of the blue, I said, Donna, how would you handle that search? And she seemed a little puzzled. I said, let's say that God, the creator of the universe, the creator of all that is, came to you and said, find me the perfect woman to serve as the mother of Christ. Find me the perfect woman to give birth and raise up the promised one, the long-awaited Messiah, the Word of God in the flesh. There was a dead silence. And then she kind of chuckled. She said, you know, Mark, I've never thought about it that way. But what an interesting question. What criteria would we set? What would we look for to fill the role of being the mother of Jesus? And again, there was silence. And then I said, well? And she said, well, we'd probably look for someone with an advanced degree in theology and maybe developmental psychology and education. Someone who had strong nurturing qualities and the resources to provide these children with the best of everything, with great opportunities. And then I said, man, that doesn't sound much like Mary, does it? She laughed and she said, no, it doesn't. If this search firm was to look for the perfect candidate to fill the role of the mother of Christ, my guess is Mary would have never stood a chance. Mary didn't have any kind of degree. Mary had no career track. Most scholars believe that Mary was somewhere between 12 and 14 years of age. No one ever paid attention to young Mary. In her world, in her day, she was a nobody. She was born into a poor family from an insignificant town of Nazareth. She didn't appear to stand out from her peers in any way, and she would have never been voted most likely to succeed. Eventually, however, she was engaged to a man by the name of Joseph, who could not promise her affluence, but was a kind man and had a stable reputation. While Mary was growing up, unknown by the outside world, she was not unknown to God. While we as Protestant Christians do not believe Mary was divine, we believe Mary was an amazing woman of faith, who was favored by God and used by God in a powerful way, and therefore is worthy of great honor. Though she knew she was pregnant through the Holy Spirit, many neighbors and acquaintances undoubtedly spread false gossip that she had fallen into sin with her fiancé or someone else. And while unwed pregnancies are not that unusual in our day, for women of Mary's day, it could have easily been a death sentence. It would have not been all that uncommon for Mary to be taken to the edge of town and stoned to death. So for Mary, it was not just bad timing or inconvenience. She literally had good reason to fear for her life. And even if she escaped that fate, life at the moment she received the news from Gabriel didn't look that promising. You see, in those days, women were totally dependent upon their husbands. Women were entitled to very few educational opportunities, if any, and there was simply no such thing as a single mom supporting herself and a child. An unwed mother like Mary faced a life of sure rejection and poverty, and certainly no man would ever want her to be his wife. The Bible says that when the angel Gabriel appeared to her, that Mary was greatly troubled and confused. You think? The Greek word used here actually means she was petrified. She was scared to death. Now, I want you to think about something here. Doesn't it seem that every time God is about to do something amazing that we read about in Scripture, it starts out with a major problem, with a major dilemma? Every time God is about to do something spectacular, God starts with something that seems impossible. God started the nation of Israel from whom? Abraham and Sarah, a barren, elderly couple. Not the best way to start a nation. The people of Israel are enslaved in Egypt, and who does God call to confront the Pharaoh? And who does God call to lead them to the promised land? Certainly not the great communicator. God instead called a speech-impaired guy by the name of Moses. And throughout Scripture, we see God's hand at work in ways that seem impossible. And it only goes to show that God does not need a search firm to find the perfect candidate. God is not, in fact, in the practice of using perfect people to accomplish his mission. God seems to be in the practice of finding and calling forth everyday, garden variety type of folk who are just simply willing to do his will. Amazing things happen not because God chooses PhDs from MIT, but rather God chooses people who allow him to work through them. In other words, it's not about Abraham, it's not about Moses, it's not about Mary, it's about God. And God seems to have this knack of calling people who are strong enough in their faith to trust in his leading and to yield their own egos so that God can work through them. Mary possessed no spectacular gifts on her own. But there's something about Mary. And that something was her faith and her devotion to God. And that's all God needed for her to have. And that really is all God needs from you. Notice that while Mary was a person of devout faith, she was still afraid when the angel Gabriel appeared to her. Mary had every reason to be afraid, but notice what she did, or more importantly, what she didn't do. She didn't let her fears control her. She didn't turn and run. She didn't hide. She stopped, and she listened. Sometimes I think the first response many of us make when God is trying to tell us something is we plug our ears and we run in the other directions. We turn up our nose, turn up the noise in our life and so we can't hear. And we run away, kind of like a modern day Jonah. But Mary didn't do this. Mary was afraid. Mary was anxious, probably very overwhelmed. But her faith gave her the courage to stand in there and to trust God. So here she is in the presence of an angel, deeply troubled, not certain what all this meant, that God had greatly blessed her. And then she got it. She got the rest of the story. You're going to be the mother of Christ, the Son of the living God, the long-awaited Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, and his kingdom will reign forever and ever. And Mary's got to be thinking, no way, no way. I'm sure all sorts of things were running through her mind, like why me, why now, and how can this happen? First of all, I'm a virgin. Second of all, I'm a virgin. And for goodness sake, surely God can find somebody more capable than me. And on top of all of that, Mary had to be thinking, this is really going to complicate my life. What will Joseph think? He'll never believe me. I'll be an outcast. No one will accept me. My reputation is ruined. I'm destined to be a beggar if my life is spared. What will my parents think? And no matter what I say, do you think they'll really believe that this child is conceived through the Holy Spirit? They may disown me. Again, have you ever noticed that the bigger the possibilities, the greater the challenges that come with them? I'm sure all of these thoughts immediately rushed through Mary's head. So Gabriel laid out God's agenda to Mary. Put yourself in her place. What would it be like to walk in her sandals? Mary probably thought, why me? We're just plain ordinary folks living in a small town. We don't have a lot of money. We aren't well educated, can't provide the kind of environment that's fit for a king, let alone the King of Kings. And Mary brings up a good question. Why did God, in all of his infinite wisdom, choose a young, unsophisticated teenage girl to usher in the eternal hope of all humanity? It seems like God would have hired a headhunter to find the perfect candidate. Someone with the right resume and the right pedigree. But you know what? God wasn't looking on the outside. God was looking on the inside. And what God found in Mary was a woman who had a deep desire to do his will. Mary was Madonna long before Madonna was Madonna, a medieval Latin, Italian term for noble or otherwise important woman. In Mary, God saw a woman who was noble in character and was willing to pay the cost that come with doing God's will. In Mary, God saw a woman who was willing to trust him even though she could not possibly know how all of this would turn out. Carl Jung, the Swiss psychiatrist, once wrote, "You are what you do, not what you say you will do." And God chose Mary not because she talked the talk, but because she walked the walk. That when push came to shove, when things got tremendously complicated and challenging, that Mary would trust and follow through, even though she didn't fully understand. Mary knew this journey was filled with all sorts of challenges, but she also knew that the words of the angel Gabriel were absolutely true. That with God, all things are possible. And that's not just true for Mary. That's true for you. Whatever challenges you face this day, whatever obstacles you've got to overcome, whatever assignment God may be calling to you, no matter how daunting, no matter how scary, with God, all things are possible. And the more that we understand that, the more that we're able to live with joy, no matter the circumstances and no matter the challenges that we face, we find joy not because life is easy and without challenges, but because we do know that with God, all things are possible. Let us pray. Lord God, you're not about making our lives easy. You have a purpose for each of us. And most times, stepping out in faith is scary for us. Help us to know that we are not alone. Help us to follow the faith of Mary to stand in there during times of challenge, because we know that with you, all things are truly possible. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.